It's Kiwi FM, good morning, Alt J with Dissolve Me. Welcoming to the studio as our artist in studio, a pleasure to have him, Sam Peacock. How are you, sir?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Good morning to you too.
Now, you'll recognise the name, no doubt, as the brains and director behind Beautiful Machine, the She Had documentary. I have to say, first and foremost, congratulations on that documentary.
It is extraordinary work.
Oh, great, yeah, it was quite a long time in the making, and that sort of changed from one thing to another as films do, but I'm very proud of it, and it's a sum of a lot of people's hard work, obviously, especially the fans. So
you said that it changed and evolved over time. What did you have intended at the beginning?
Well, it was sort of a peculiar process that I came onto the project, and that it was already actually a film in production when I joined.
Oh, really?
So it had sort of been sold in and funded, and that already actually started filming it. And I just think the guys from She Had wanted more of a sort of, I don't know, a different look at it, maybe, so that it's not your sort of typical rockumentary.
Yeah.
So they asked if I could be involved, or John did, and I was actually living in the UK at the time, and I thought it would be a great way to sort of discover more about them and also learn how to make a documentary.
So what was your background before? I mean, what had you done previous to Beautiful Machine?
I sort of went to university doing other totally unrelated things and got a job in a production company that did TV commercials and just worked as a sort of slave there for a while. And then started making music videos, which is how I got to know She Had, because I did a couple of videos for them. Yeah, I'd actually never done a documentary before that. I'd done little things, but...
So how did you research it? Just get take out a whole bunch of good documentaries and see how they did it? Or did you go and talk to people?
I've always been a documentary fan, so I think there's, you know, you can sort of do a documentary. There's a lot of, I don't know, conventions that you can stick to make it interesting. So I suppose I kept it reasonably safe from a sort of filmmaking point of view. But I guess what sort of changed mainly was that once I started finding out more about their lives, I sort of realised that they didn't have your sort of typical rock and roll story. I mean, you'd think that they might do, but then actually if you think that they've been together for that long, it's pretty obvious that they must be quite sort of well-adjusted people in certain ways. And I guess the main thing that the film ended up being about was really sort of loyalty and also like the sort of universal story of pursuing your ambition and balancing that with the sort of relationships and your family and love and, I don't know, even just having a normal life when you're sort of driven like that. I think it's like quite a common thing for a lot of young New Zealanders, you know, you do your OE and go and try and sort of prove yourself in the greater world or something like that, that a lot of people sort of struggle with that, and their story is just sort of like a distilled, slightly more grand version of what a lot of people do. So I think the film is actually marketed in a different way to what the film is when you watch it, I think. So I think a lot of people find it a different film when they actually watch it. I mean, Phil, actually, the guitarist, came up with this great idea that we should call it Four Bogans and a Volvo, which I really wanted to do because I think it's sort of more accurate about what it is.
So how much time commitment did you have? I mean, how many years in the making were you involved? They already had the green light. They already had funding put into it when you joined. How much of a time commitment was it for you?
Well, I think initially the producers, the guys who actually got the project off the ground, Grant and Lawrence from Iron Films, I think they'd been working on it a long time. Like, it's really their labour of love. Lawrence's especially, like, he's a really big film buff and a She Had fan, obviously. So I think they'd been working on it for, you know, 5 years or something, trying to get it off the ground. And I think they'd sort of been in production on it for maybe 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And then I came down, I think we spent about 9 or 10 months on it, I think, shooting and then editing. And the editing takes the longest thing, and that's actually where I learnt the most, because there's a lot of basic documentary making stuff that I didn't know about. The editor, Kusha Dillon, was absolutely amazing. Like, the film really is, owes its being good really to her, and she sort of taught me how to make a documentary.
Amazing. Well, should we take a break and play a song? What would you like to hear? You can play a She Had song
Let's just hit it off right out of the blocks with a She Had song, and I think Deb's Night Out is what we should play.
Perfect choice. We'll be back with Sam Peacock shortly. It's Kiwi FM from the Killjoy album. It is She Had with Deb's Night Out. We're back with Sam Peacock, our artist in studio. Thanks for sticking around, mate. We appreciate it.
No worries. Cozy in here.
Yeah, I know.
Keep it toasty warm.
Nice and warm for a winter. Of course, if you've just joined us, Sam Peacock is the director of Beautiful Machine, the She Had documentary. That is an outstanding documentary. Going to premiere on the Rialto channel in 2 days' time. Talking about that documentary, wanted to ask, how do you get them so open?
It's just really a matter of spending time with people. And actually directly, I don't know, committing to them. I suppose that's the main thing.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think when you interview people, I mean, you probably know it in this, when you've got sort of high turnover things and you're wanting to, I don't know, just really sort of bash through things in documentary,
yep.
it's the same. People just sort of know, oh, okay, well, this is just achieving a job, so I'm going to stay reserved and, you know, I'll answer all the questions and that sort of thing. But I guess when I took the project on, I, like, committed to John especially, that I was going to, I don't know, be loyal to him in a strange sort of a way, I suppose. So he knew that I wouldn't make up anything that... I think they all knew that I wouldn't make up anything that didn't exist. I suppose they didn't tell me things I didn't want to come out. So I think...
They seem quite open, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think you sort of build that sort of trust with people that you're going to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously in editing you can make anything sound like you want to.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got four different opinions and you've got it all transcribed and you've got weeks to think about it, you can juxtapose things that one have said against another and create an argument that doesn't exist and that sort of thing. So I think they sort of inherently trusted us as a filmmaking team to do that. And also the cinematographer, this woman, Ari Wegner, who's from Melbourne, she is not like your normal cinematographer in that she... Yeah, quite often on a film shoot like that, the camera becomes this big altar that, you know, comes into a room and takes over everything.
Yeah.
She's got this unique way of sort of just melding into the background. You still feel like you're on camera, I suppose. Like, there's still that strange thing. As soon as the camera's off, it's like, but I tried to create that feeling the whole time.
How much sign-off did they have on the finished product?
I mean, my job sort of didn't go right through to the end of production, so
right.
I got it through to the end of the edit, you know, which you could pretty much release as a film. Before we finished the edit off, you know, made sure that they all watched it, all their parents had watched it, and we addressed a few little concerns. Well, they weren't really concerns, they were funny things like, oh, can you not put that shot in there of me looking that terrible or something?
Yeah.
So, no, they all really liked it. It was a pretty strange experience watching it with John, because I suppose it's kind of like a home movie on crack, I suppose.
it is.
Yeah.
Like, it is.
Yeah.
It's very transparent and very open of who these guys are and what they're about. So it must have been weird sitting next to John when he put that trust in you.
Yeah, because I think, like, even if you look at your own life, you can't sort of see it through the lens of somebody else looking at yourself. And a lot of his life has existed on camera. Yeah, I think they all enjoyed watching it the first time.
Oh,
in
good.
A kind of strange sort of a way.
Were you nervous? Were you freaking out when they were all watching it going, God, I hope these guys...
No,
are cool.
Not, I wasn't really nervous because I knew that it would be a powerful experience for them. I think more so if you're one of those four than even any of the audience watching it.
That's excellent. Well, let's take a break and play a song. What would you like to play? It doesn't necessarily have to be a She Had song. No doubt you've heard a few songs over the last while.
Could we play Solid Air by John Martin? It's quite an old track.
Why that track?
I don't know. I just kind of like the atmosphere that it creates.
Cool. Let's have a listen. We'll be back with Sam Peacock shortly. It is Kiwi FM Flume on top. We're back with Sam Peacock, our artist in studio, the director of the outstanding documentary Beautiful Machine. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Thanks for sticking around. We appreciate it. Now, we obviously love the documentary. Just wanted to ask you, out of all the people that you met in that documentary and interviewed, was there any highlights that you wouldn't have minded to actually pursue their story as well as a separate mini doco?
Yeah, there's a few things. I think, I mean, there's a whole side of the doco that never made it to screen, which is actually the fan stories.
Yeah.
And so we interviewed, like, a lot of the most sort of committed fans of She Had's here and also across the Tasman and even overseas.
Cool.
So there's, you know, a lot of people that have even, you know, gone right through the commitment of having the entire breastplate tattooed with Shehad on it. And so I think you could. I'd really like to sort of explore fandom in that way, but you know, you just sort of can't really sort of fit it into that movie, and you've got to focus it on what it's about.
DVD extras?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And there's people like, you know, Doc McGee, who is nearly Shehad's manager in America, who's, I don't think I'd want to do a documentary on him, but it was pretty interesting interviewing him. He's such a character.
He was easily one of my favourite off the film was Doc McGee. He was just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so he's actually, he's Kiss's business manager. Oh, no, manager, actual manager. And he's, I think he was like James Brown's manager and stuff like that. And he's got this office in like sort of industrial Nashville. it's like just across the road from this crusty little studio where Elvis like recorded his first album and stuff. And we like got there and we're waiting around. We're a little bit early. And then this like big black Mercedes pulls up and this guy gets out and he like looks like Dennis Connor. I don't know why. He just reminded me of Dennis Connor heaps. Yeah, he was just like one of the few people that just had like sort of a realistic, no bullshit view on things.
Yeah.
Even, you know, as a patriotic American, his sort of view on the whole name change thing and stuff was pretty accurate, I thought, in some things. But I don't know, I mean, he could have been full of the proverbial as well. But
yeah, after such a time commitment for something like A Beautiful Machine, with the completion of it and, of course, featuring in 2 days' time on the Rialto Channel, no less, what's next?
Couple of things. I think like the main thing is that to take on another big documentary project like that, I want to get it off the ground myself, I suppose, so it's sort of more of a baby rather than being brought in once it's sort of off the ground. I don't really know why that is. It's more just about, you know, the sort of freedom of choice that you have of, you can sort of choose to study anything through the lens of a documentary. So so there's a few things that I've got in the works for on that regard. We're working on a feature film script at the moment, which is an adaptation of a novel which came out I think last year just at the end of the year before last, called Wolf, which is written by this Wellingtonian author called Hamish Clayton, and it's based around the story of a sailor and the sort of just before 1820, sailing the length of New Zealand towards Kapiti Island, where Te Rāparaha, the sort of Napoleon of the South Pacific, has sort of made his base.
When can we expect that? We're talking 2015?
Yeah, that's a long way off. It's and it's a period film set on a boat, so it won't be like the first feature I make because it's too ambitious, but that's what I'm working on at the moment. So
cool.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us.
Thanks for having me. And, I hope that people can enjoy the film at home.
Finally.
Is it playing the 27th?
Yep, so 27th. Thursday. Yep. Thursday, 8:30 on Rialto. And definitely head along and watch it. It's very good. It's such an insight into New Zealand legends, basically.
Yeah, and it's not what you'll expect. Even, you know, people like my father who sort of, in his late 50s and has never liked that whole side of music or anything. You know, people like him actually come to have new respect for Shehad, and it's an insight into what it means to be a New Zealander in some ways. So
The danger you've walked, though, is you've made such a great film for Shehad, there's probably a swathe of other New Zealand bands out there waiting to grab your card from John Tugan and go, hey, we'd love you to make a documentary about us as well.
Well, I haven't heard any.
Not yet.
So if anyone wants a documentary made out there, I haven't had any inquiries since then, so give us a call or an email.
Let's play a song before you shoot. What would you like to play?
I don't know how you pronounce it. Woo or what? W-O-U-H by Nicholas Jarre.
Oh, yes. Nice. Awesome. We'll play that. Sam, thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks for your time.